come on, man. We need the work. Let's go. Let's go.
Yeah, on the field. He's got Cruz. 35, 30.
One in the end zone. Caught. Broken intercepted.
Touchdown, Giants.
Welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live right here on Giants.com. 201-939-4513. That's the telephone number. We'll be taking your calls for the next 1 hour, reacting to the Giants' big loss to the Indianapolis Colts. My name is John Schmelk. He is Lance Mendy. You could also contribute on Twitter at hashtag GiantsChat. And we'll get to a lot of the micro stuff, and I know that's what a lot of the call is going to be about today. Small adjustments, small changes, and things of that nature. But before we get to that, Lance, we should talk a little big picture here with this New York Giants football team. And it looks like Prince Mukamara is going to be out for at least an extended period of time, maybe the season. We'll see what the MRI shows when they look at his torn biceps. And you take him out of the equation. You already have the injuries you already had in the secondary before this game. Throw in Jennings not playing, Victor Cruz not playing. The offensive line, frankly, underplaying in terms of potential and not playing well this year. And this team going out against the Colts last night, talent-wise, were at a severe disadvantage on both sides of the ball. And frankly, the Colts were just a more talented football team. And over the course of the game, it showed.
Well, the Colts made more plays. That's what it came down to, John. And we heard all week long Tom Coughlin wanted the players to play above the X's and O's. And then you see what Indianapolis goes out and does yesterday. Ahmad Bradshaw turning a fumble into a 13-yard rush off the right sideline. You see T.Y. Hilton grab the ball out of DRC's hands in the end zone to get a touchdown. It's those little things that may not appear in the box score. They were difference makers because it was either a first down or it was an additional score for the Indianapolis Colts. Where were the Giants game-changing plays? They were to be had yesterday. They just weren't taken in terms of the interception opportunities. Prince drops an interception. Antrel Roll drops an interception. DRC misses an interception. And then you look at the fumble opportunities. They had an opportunity to recover a fumble on special teams when Griff Whalen coughed up the football. They had an opportunity to grab the fumble when Ahmad Bradshaw could not initially grab the football. I mean, those are five turnovers, five takeaway opportunities there that the Giants let slip away, and also they blitzed heavily and could not get to the quarterback. So a variety of factors played a role into why this game was so lopsided.
And then you talk about not playing above the X's and O's. Many times the Giants didn't even play to the X's and O's, especially on the offensive side of the ball. A number of drops, anywhere from 6 to 8, depending on how you want to count them. Preston Parker got into the mix. Reuben Randall got into the mix. Odell Beckham Jr., despite his strong game, he had drop issues in the game as well. He had a drop in that first half. And Eli Manning earlier in the game was off the mark. He was throwing a lot of balls high. If he connects on a better throw to Odell Beckham Jr. on that long pass down the sideline, hits him in stride, that could go for a touchdown in the first half. So you're right, the Giants didn't play above the X's and O's, but on offense, they didn't even play to the X's and O's. With the drops, they couldn't run the ball yet again. And then when Eli Manning tried to drop back and hold the ball for more than a few seconds, he was getting pressured. So once again, this Giants offense came up small. And our key heading into this week, Lance, was very simple for the Giants. The offense had to keep pace. We knew the Indianapolis Colts were going to score points. They were going to put up, at minimum, a 27 or 30 spot on this Giants team. And the Giants were going to have to stay with them. And we said in our pregame show on the radio before the game on Sunday that if the Colts come out in this game, start relatively fast, and the Giants offense comes out with a bunch of three and outs and or turnovers, they'd have issues. And if you take a look at the Giants' first few drives
they
in this game,
they punted on the first five possessions.
It was a disaster. The Giants in this game punted on seven of their first eight possessions. They only had one drive in the first half that went more than six plays. They had one, two, three, five drives that went four or fewer plays. And I know people are going to kill the defense because they gave up 40 points. Guess what? The only reason the Giants were in the game at halftime, and they were in it, only down 16-3. The only reason they were in the game at all was because the defense played a hell of a first half, despite the fact the offense gave them nothing on that side of the ball. Absolutely nothing. So this offense gave you a zero in the first. Well, they gave you three. But they basically gave you a zero in the first half.
It seemed like a zero, even though there was a field goal to be accounted for from Josh Brown. But when you can't run the football, John, you can't get into manageable third downs. They were 4 of 16 on third down yesterday. 11 of those third downs were for 9 yards or more. In the Eagles game, they had 10 third downs for 10 yards or more. In the Cowboys game, the number was just about in that ballpark. This trend can't continue. It's impossible to have any continuity on offense when you have to face one third and long after another. And that was the biggest storyline yesterday. And the other thing to note, have the Giants played one close game this season yet? I'll continue to throw out that stat, John. Have they played one close game? What is the identity of this team? You go back to the first two losses, 10 points or more of those games were decided. The three wins, 10 points or more. And now these three straight losses, 10 points or more. They haven't played one single-digit contest this season. They either run away with a game or they get beat up. Opposite ends of the spectrum. There's no consistency.
And some common complaints heading into this game from Giant fans on the offensive side of the ball. Well, if you can't run the ball, give up on the run. Just throw it. Well, in the first half, the Giants had 23 passes and 13 runs. That's about 62-63% pass ratio. That's a lot of throws. You can't get much more unbalanced than that. And at the end of the game, obviously, when the Giants went down big, that became even worse. But for a first half, to throw 23 times and run to just 13, that skews very, very far towards the pass. All right? You mentioned the third downs. Why are you having trouble on third downs? Look at the Giants' runs early in downs here. And by the way, they weren't predictable in this game either. The Giants threw the ball on first down about just as much as they ran it. I went through the game and I tracked it. But when they did run the ball in the first half, this is Andre Williams' runs in half number one. Andre Williams, negative one. Andre Williams for one. They did not even run the ball until Peyton Hillis ran a draw on third and 15 on the Giants' second drive. Andre Williams for 4 yards. Andre Williams for no gain on the fumble. When he got whacked behind the line of scrimmage, because the offensive line did a great job blocking the run in this game. Andre Williams for one run, 1 yard. Andre Williams for 1 yard. Let's see, what else do we got here as we move forward? Peyton Hillis, he had that run for 16. Peyton Hillis for one. Andre Williams for nine. Hinoski for two. Andre Williams for three. I mean, these are runs that are going to put you in bad third and longs. And the way this Ben McAdoo system is designed, Lance, you want to throw short passes, get run after the catch, and you get that by drawing the linebackers towards the line of scrimmage to open up lanes for Eli to throw those short passes and then for the receivers to run afterwards. And if you don't make teams respect the run, you're not going to be able to do that. And by the way, you're not going to be able to make those big plays down the field and get more aggressive, like Jerry Reese talked about this week, like McAdoo talked this week, if you can't bring those safeties into the box to protect against the run. It's hard to go deep against two safeties deep. It's a hard thing to do.
Well, it was also a challenge, John, for the Giants to even win their one-on-one battles yesterday. I mean, there was no separation whatsoever.
Again.
It's not as if they're double-teaming Reuben Randle, and it's not as if they're double-teaming Odell Beckham Jr. One of the things we were talking about when Victor Cruz went down, you know, who's going to start to take away attention so that maybe some of the other weapons on offense can have favorable matchups? Everybody's got a favorable matchup. It's not as if anybody's coming in and looking at this Giants offense and saying, wow, we got to take Odell Beckham out of the game. We've got to draw the coverage over there. No, a lot of one-on-one individual matchups, guys were not getting separation. Other than that 59-yard catch and run by Odell Beckham, what other big plays was there where all of a sudden you could say, hey, this is going to provide a spark? Yeah, the Andre Williams short catch and run for 24 yards, and then the next play he punches it in from 1 yard out for the touchdown. Now, those are the only two plays to me that jump out. And I've said this time and time again, and we talked about this on the postgame show for the Giants Radio Network. If you can't run the ball, there is no crime in dumping it off to the running backs and just get 2 or 3 yards through the air. I think that has to be the philosophy moving forward. I do not see anything drastically changing, John, right now between the combination of the running backs as well as the personnel on the offensive line.
And now you have the injuries. They continue to mount. Prince Amukamara, again, likely going to be out for the season with a torn bicep. We'll have definitive word probably by the end of the day or tomorrow. That means you've lost three out of your top four cornerbacks, and your fourth guy that's still standing is playing on a bum leg and has to play limited snaps. Hard to win football games like that in this league the way it's set up. You got Jaron Holsley trying to cover T.Y. Hilton, which we talked about last week. Not going to work. You got Zach Bowman out there, who's a solid cover two type of guy. You just got Harris off the scrap heap. He's someone you're going to have to play now. So, I mean, it's a real issue as the Giants try to match up. And then offensively, the one thing you could say about this offensive line, at least they had continuity. They were able to play together and, you know, get used to playing and have good chemistry with one another. Now Weston Richburg is going to be out, I would imagine, for a couple games with that ankle injury. Whenever you get carted off, I'm going to assume you're going to miss some games.
The Giants, I think that's a fair assumption.
I think so, too. Yeah. The Giants haven't announced anything yet. But, you know, Jeff Schwartz, is he going to be ready? for this game coming up? I don't know that. Is it going to be Adam Snyder? Is it going to be Brandon Mosley who was inactive? I don't know. We're going to have to find out. But that's another adjustment this Giants offensive line is going to have to make. But again, considering how they've played the last few weeks, I'm not sure if an adjustment in terms of personnel is necessarily a bad thing either.
Well, they're going to have to mix and match somehow, whether it be bringing in Mike Harris and having him play a bigger role, as you alluded to. They signed him off the Lions practice squad. He has starting experience with the Jacksonville Jaguars. I mean, right now, Jayron Hosley's a liability. There's major issues in the secondary. And a lot of the fans are going to call in, John, and we're going to say, you know, why didn't Perryfield blitz enough? Well, first of all, Perryfield did blitz at the beginning of the game. But here's the thing. Start blitzing. Be aggressive. That's great. Then you leave one-on-one matchups at the back end of your defense where you have T.Y. Hilton against Jayron Hosley. That it does not bode too well for your defense.
To me, I think the Giants blitz too much in this game.
I thought they were very aggressive early on.
And one of the common complaint heading into this game. I touched on the one earlier in terms of, you know, running the ball, even though it wasn't working. Another comical complaint about the defense was that the team didn't blitz enough. Perryfield brought the heat in this game.
Yeah.
And I tweeted multiple times, and I got yelled at by fans for it during the game, well, that's what happens when you blitz. You get T.Y. Hilton catching the ball in the middle of the field with no linebackers or safeties around. Do you know why? Everyone's blitzing and everyone's playing man-to-man coverage. And that's how you get Reggie Wayne catching a ball and running 30 yards down the sideline for a touchdown. That's how you have Dwayne Allen man-on-man with your linebacker beating him down the field for a 30 or 40-yard catch. It's hard to cover man-on-man in this league. It's impossible to cover man-on-man in this league when you don't have help and you're playing your second, third, and fourth string guys. It's not going to work. The Colts have one of the best offenses in the league. And the scary thing about this, too, Lance, in the first half, guess what? Andrew Luck didn't even play well. He was missing receivers left and right. He missed about four or five wide open receivers. Now, granted, the Giants were in his face on a couple of those plays. Robert Ayers played another great game. I think it's time to maybe consider putting him into the starting lineup and then using him as that, you know, three technique pass rusher in nickel and dime situations. But look, this defense did the best they could in the first half. They kept the team in the game. That's why I don't want to be too hard on them, because they really did, under bad circumstances, keep the Giants in the game, holding the Colts only three field goals and a touchdown in the first half. And in the second half, it became too much. And that's why I don't want to focus too much on the defense.
Well, yet. They got worn down, John. That's essentially what happened. Offense could not sustain any long drives.
And the time of possession, I think, end of the game, didn't end up being a big difference.
It was 33 and change for the Colts and just over 26 for the Giants. It wasn't a huge disparity, as you just mentioned. But, you know, the Colts were very active in that third quarter. It was extremely lopsided. That, to me, was a big turning point.
Yep.
Colts dominated the third quarter.
I got it. 10 minutes and 35 seconds with the ball for the Colts in quarter number three. The Giants had it only 4 minutes and 25 seconds. The Giants made up some ground in the fourth quarter, gaining back 40 seconds. And that's really the difference in the game. The Giants actually led in time of possession in the other quarters if you put them all together. So I thought that was interesting. But, again, issues for the Giants. I want to touch on a couple micro issues from the games now, because I'm sure this is what a lot of the calls are going to be about. One. The Tom Coughlin non-challenge. Before you complain about this, keep two things in mind. One, it wasn't obviously clear that it was an incomplete pass. And number two, and Tom Coughlin said after the game, by the way, he didn't think it was an incomplete pass, which is why he wasn't going to challenge it. Number two, Dean Blandino, the head of NFL officiating, tweeted after the play that that would not have been overturned. So it would have been a bad challenge, okay? What I don't understand is why the onus here is being placed on Tom Coughlin to challenge a play that they would have lost the timeout on, a lost challenge, instead of on the dopey defenders out on the field, that instead of actually lining up and getting ready for the Colts quick snapping them, which, by the way, they practiced during the week. The Giants knew off of big plays that the Colts do this. Ontrell Rolle said it in his postgame press conference. So did Tom Coughlin. They were prepared for this. They were coached up on this. Yet, somehow, they didn't get lined up. They didn't get a play called, and all of a sudden, Kobe Fleener's running around with nobody within 20 yards of him for a touchdown. That's where the blame should be on that play, on the defense not being lined up. How is that Tom Coughlin's fault? He was going to lose the challenge. The defense has got to be ready. I mean, come on.
Completely caught off guard. And credit the Colts for running up to the line of scrimmage, because they were anticipating that Tom Coughlin was going to throw the challenge flag, and Andrew Luck all of a sudden snaps the ball, hits Kobe Fleener for a wide-open touchdown, and you have the Giants' defensive players looking at one another because they thought somebody was going to bail them out. And that seems to have been a prevalent storyline throughout this game as well as in seasons past. A lot of miscues, a lot of mishaps, a lot of players not knowing what their assignments are and always looking for an excuse here or there for somebody to come to the rescue. And it just wasn't happening yesterday. It certainly wasn't happening in the form of the offense, because the offense needed to do the heavy lifting yesterday. It's something that John and I spoke about in great detail on Monday's program. You got to win time of possession. You have to have sustainable drives so that you continue to put points on the board and you keep Andrew Luck and company on the sideline. And the defense held up their end of the bargain, with the exception of a few of these mishaps, as you just alluded to, but the offense just couldn't do anything.
In the first half, the defense did their job. In the third quarter, they fell apart. They gave up 280-plus yard drives with touchdowns the first few times the Colts touched the ball. That's a problem. Look, we get that, okay? But, you know, you mentioned all these little things on offense, and then you hit it on the head, and Tom Coughlin said after the game, we could talk about all these things left, right, here, there, A, B, C, D, E, F, G, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Score points. They had 3 points at halftime. Three. They got shut out by the Eagles 2 weeks ago. They only put up 21 points against Dallas. This team hasn't scored a lot of points, Lance. They simply do not score a lot of points. When they don't get turnovers, when they don't get takeaways, excuse me. And by the way, this was the case last year too, under a different offensive coordinator. When this team does not get takeaways, they do not score points. They do not sustain drives.
Well, the three-game winning streak, the reason why the Giants won three games is all because of takeaways. I mean, that's the biggest difference maker this season.
Oh,
the takeaways helped overshadow a number of issues on this team. Redskins turned the ball over 6 times. That's why the Giants had an offensive clinic, and that game was so lopsided. The Falcons had a few costly turnovers. That's why the Giants were able to capitalize. The Texans, Ryan Fitzpatrick, 3 interceptions. It shortened field position, and it gave the Giants a golden opportunity to punch it in. Look at what's happening in these losses. You know, not a lot of opportunities to change field position because you're not getting the takeaways. You can't rely on takeaways. Now, I remember the Bears a few seasons ago, most opportunistic team.
Yep.
Offense struggled, but the defense made up for it because those guys were scoring a defensive touchdown every game. And what's happened with the Bears' defense over the last two seasons,
not
John?
Not sustainable.
No takeaways. So if your offense is not going to meet you halfway, you're going to be a mediocre team. You're going to be 8-8. And we don't know what's going to happen with the Giants this season, but it's too risky to rely heavily on takeaways. It is not going to balance out. It's the same thing we were talking about the Philadelphia Eagles earlier in the season. They had 7 return touchdowns via special teams of the defense. They haven't had any touchdowns the last few games. You can't sustain that. It's absolutely impossible.
Should I touch on Corey Washington now or wait till somebody calls in with it?
Well, we're eventually going to have some fun with Corey Washington.
I'll wait for a caller.
Why don't we let the callers, allude to it eventually.
We'll get to your calls in just 1 minute at 201-939-4513. But listeners are winning cash every week at DraftKings.com, America's favorite one-week fantasy football site, where it's like a new season every time you play. Hurry, get free entry into the $100,000 fantasy football contest this weekend, where first place takes home 10 grand. Head to DraftKings.com now and enter code BLUE to play for free. DraftKings.com, bigger events, bigger winnings, bigger millionaires. Enter BLUE for free entry right now at DraftKings.com. That's DraftKings.com. Let's go to the phones at 201-939-4513. And we're going to start with Keith down in Kentucky. Keith, what's going on, pal?
Hey, what's going on, fellas?
How are you, Keith?
Hey. Hey. Oh, man. This is coming, becoming a habit of losing like this. I'm actually getting used to it.
Well, that's not a good thing. And, you know, Anshar Roll kind of made that point in the post-game press conference, Keith, that he wants to see a little bit more passion and energy out of these guys, that they really hate losing.
Right. I mean, we could talk all day about the negatives. You know, like Andre Williams, he runs with his head down a lot. He's looking for the contact. In that game, there was a couple cutback lengths he could have got if he kept his head up, you know.
Keith, how many times was Andre Williams in the backfield, Keith?
Oh, it was a ton. It was a ton, but there was a couple cutback lanes. You gotta when the opportunity presents itself, you gotta get it, because you're not gonna get many chances in
the
NFL.
Hey, look, Keith, I agree. Andre Williams is not the same player Rashad Jennings is. It is a downgrade. I don't disagree with any of that. But to put the onus on this running game on Andre Williams, I think is unfair. I think it has a lot more to do with the offense.
No. The Giants as a whole lost the game. I'm just naming one part of it. Like, you know, Ruben Randle, he's third string at best. He is what he is. I mean, that kid has no heart. That's just he don't want to catch nothing but the deep ball for the most part.
Well, I'm not sure he doesn't have any heart, Keith. I'm just not sure he's fast enough to get separation. And frankly, he drops too many 50-50 balls for my taste too. So, frankly, I'm just not sure how good
he is. he's insane with the drops. I can't even believe how he played last night. I'm still in shock how he played it. And Parker, man, if he don't step up, he's going to find himself building Tiki Huts again, you know?
Hey, you know what, Keith? And, you know, I guess we should have brought this up earlier. We talked about the drops, but not specifically about the guys who did them. To me, Preston Parker hasn't showed me enough where you can survive the type of mistakes he's made the last couple weeks, specifically last night. I don't think Preston Parker should get significant snaps next week with all the drops he had in that game last night. I think whether it's Kevin Ogletree or Corey Washington, whoever it is, I think there's got to be somebody else that deserves more snaps than Preston Parker based on his performance yesterday.
Now, I was surprised that Kevin Ogletree didn't get many snaps yesterday. I mean, I think he would have been the most logical guy to throw in more so than Corey Washington just because he's more suitable for that slot spot. I would assume that they're going to try to change things up. You look at the box score, he was targeted 6 times, John. He only made 1 catch. And he did have a few drops. And with Reuben Randall, Keith,
three,
as you were
right?
alluding to.
I think 3 drops, Parker, maybe 4 even?
Absolutely.
It was a bunch.
I mean, Randall had a number of drops, too. It's a lack of concentration. You know, that's what it comes down to. I don't think these guys are playing scared. It's not as if they don't have a desire to play football. It's just a lack of concentration. Some of them are thinking 10 steps ahead before they even secure the football.
Reuben Randall said in the postgame last night, I was trying to run before I caught the ball.
Yeah, I mean, you
drop.
Can't do that. Grab the football. So if you don't get the lousy 5 or 6 yards after the catch, it's not the end of the world. Just get the catch so you at least get some positive yardage.
Yeah.
Right, right. But do you guys actually think Corey Washington has a shot? I know he scored playing the backups, you know. But do y'all actually think he has a shot, or is it going to be Ogletree?
Well, I think that they'll probably look to put some new personnel in over the next few games, considering they're not getting much production out of Parker, at least. I wouldn't assume that they're going to start pitching Randall. I mean, Washington could get a few more snaps. Ogletree could get a few more snaps. But, you know, I keep going back to this, Keith, and I'm sure a lot of Giants fans are going to keep throwing out the name Corey Washington. I mean, at the end of the day, is Corey Washington the savior of last night's game?
No, sir.
So, I mean, let's at least put things in perspective. Yes, you should change personnel. I'm not saying that the Giants should keep going out with the same scheme and the same personnel groupings, but, you know, let's at least realize that Corey Washington alone is not going to turn this season
around. Yeah, Keith, this is how I look at it too, all right? I believe Corey Washington should get some snaps. Based on the performances of Reuben Randall, Preston Parker, these guys have not earned those snaps that they continue to get. So, I have no issue running him out there in 3 and 4 wide receiver packages, maybe even in some goal line red zone stuff. Give Corey Washington the shot. But
okay.
What bothers me.
One last thing.
Yeah, go ahead. Finish
up. Andre Williams, they stack 8 in the box on this kid a lot of times. And I think that's just based off what he did in college. If they keep swinging the ball out to him and making him a threat out there, if he catches the ball, they will stop that 8 in the box. That's all I got to say.
All right. Thanks, Keith. I'm not sure if throwing swing passes to the running back is going to stop the 8 men in the box. I think making big plays down the field is going to stop the 8 men in the box. That's why I look at that.
Well, but you can't overlook, John, the fact that I was tallying up the totals. Peyton Hillis, he had 5 receptions for 50 yards yesterday, and Andre Williams had the 1 catch for 24. So they had, between those two backs, they had 74 receiving yards.
How many of those came in garbage time, though, to Hillis?
That I'm not exactly sure for Hillis. I know
okay.
Williams, though,
yep.
was a touchdown
yep.
early
yep.
that
yep.
put
yep.
10 points on the board for the Giants. And then you look as a team, they had 89 rushing yards. So they basically, through the air, the running backs were much more productive than they were on the ground. That's why I think if anything with the scheme should alter and change, alluding to what Keith was touching on, you know, it wouldn't hurt to put some of these running backs in positions where they can make short catches and see what they could do, assuming they could get out in open space. Williams was not asked to be a receiver throughout the course of his collegiate career. So if you put him in the game right now, most defenses are saying to themselves, they're going to run the ball because Andre Williams is in. So, therefore, it's easier for them to stack the box. If you at least attempt to get Williams involved in the receiving game, then defenses need to say to themselves, well, wait a minute, it's not a guarantee that we're going to run the football. So, I think that would help a little in terms of maybe opening some space. Wouldn't be necessarily a turning point, but at this point, I think anything could help.
And here's the thing, too, and I want to get back to the Corey Washington for just 1 second. And you hit it on the head. Corey Washington isn't going to run in here, an undrafted free agent, and solve all these teams' problems. It's just not going to happen. That's not the way it works, all right? He's not going to, you know, draw double teams and, you know, kill Vontae Davis on the outside. It's just not going to happen. So let's – I get you want to play him more, and that's great. That makes you happy. That's fantastic. If you think Corey Washington not playing is at the core of this team's issues, you're wrong, and that's all I can tell you. 201-939-4513. Let's go to Steve in Washington, D.C. next. Steve, what's going on, pal?
Hey, what's happening, guys? Thanks for taking my call.
What's up,
I'm going to try to be as brief as I can, man, but in order to do that, y'all got to let me get my vetting out, okay?
Please let me just say what I got to say, and I swear I won't be that long, man. Not that I don't want to hear what you guys want to say, because I really, really
so
do.
So, Steve, then get to it.
Okay, so first of all, I'm going to back up, Lance, because you said one thing that kind of, you know, I've been writing my notes down. You said, oh, well, we don't win unless we have takeaways. Yeah, but the one thing about takeaway that changes other than the possession of the ball is the way we play. We play much more aggressive as soon as we get a takeaway, and that's going to roll right into my next point. I mean, honestly, I'm done with McAdoo. The third down play call is more than suspect. It's embarrassing. It sends the wrong message to our players. Everything is possibly wrong with our third down play. I don't even really want to debate that. I'm so sick of the garbage that I've seen on third down. It's disgusting, absolutely disgusting, and we're not playing to win with that kind of stuff. What's hurting our run is Justin Pugh on the right side. Go ahead, I'm going to listen. Go ahead, guys. Go ahead. You got it.
Well, in terms of the offensive line, I think it's across the board, Steve. I don't think it's necessarily just Justin Pugh. They can't run to the left. They can't run to the right. They can't run up the gut. I don't really think that there's a strength at any aspect of this offensive line.
No,
so to pinpoint one guy specifically,
Eli,
I mean, I don't think
time.
They have to change one guy.
Eli
I think the group needs to play well together overall.
To pass the ball. He made a couple bad, you said high balls. He made a couple bad reads. And most importantly, you know, Reuben Randall, Parker, there's no excuses. That's what I mean. There's no excuse. When obviously you see guys dropping the ball that much, I don't even want to see Reuben Rand on the team. I wish we could cut him today. Really. And that comes down, you know, and it's the coach. It's the coach. I still got issues with the coaching. I mean, why don't you bring in a Williams? When you see somebody struggling and, you know, when you see a DRC all hurt and he can barely, he's one play to the next, you don't know if he's going to be in. First of all, rest him so he can actually get healthy. Second of all, it's saying the wrong message. If somebody's not better than 50% DRC, they have no business on the team. So, yeah, some of that falls on the Reese, but I'm so disgusted with the coaching and the obvious players. And I'll just say, Jaquan Williams, you know, joke. You know I don't like him. Kiwi, it's time to go. JPP, I don't know where you were at, but you weren't on the football field last night. You know, the defense, like you said, you know, certainly it's hard to even gauge the defense because they never got the rest. That's exactly why they were looking for a copper to call and throw the red flag. They were tired. They were tired because they're on the field all day with that stupid play calling on third down. You know what I mean, man? I could go on and on and on. I'm not even going to do this today, guys. But I'm telling you, the coaching, it needs to change. On offensive play calling definitely needs to change. They need to play these young players. And, you know, that's all I got. I want all our linebackers gone, every last one of them. Gone.
Well, Steve, at this point, there's not going to be anybody left on this team. I mean, I think you got to leave enough bodies to at least finish out the season. Let's keep that in mind.
Yeah, well, I'm with you on that, man. But we should be throwing more screen balls, too. We got to get Andre Williams in space. You get him in space, he can do something. Yes, the offensive line is not good at run blocking, so why don't you get him in space? They made no adjustments. You know, you had Andre Roll basically eluding, called the coach, and now talking about this is 2014. He bit his tongue so hard, but I read in between the lines. You can call me crazy if you want to, but everybody knows it's coaching issues.
Steve, hold on.
The coaches need to get their heads out of it behind.
Steve, hold on. So you're telling me they lost by 30 points because of the coaches and had nothing to do with the players. You're telling me that they lost.
No.
You let me talk now. You let me. Hang up on him. Hang up on him. Hang up on him. I'm done. We let him go, and I want to say a word, then he interrupts me. You're done.
Getting chippy
this
morning.
It's stupid. They got blown out by 30 points, and it's third down play calls on third and 15. Like, there's these magical play calls on third and 15 that work. It's third and 15. That's a 15% proposition. I don't care what team you are.
There's only so much creativity that you can utilize on a third and 15, and it wasn't just in this game, John. I threw out the numbers for the Eagles game and the Cowboys game. I mean, in the Eagles game, they faced a third and 19, a third and 20, a third and 21, and a third and 25. Against the Cowboys, they faced a third and 17, a third and 18, and a third and 19, and then you add in all of the long ones in this last game.
What do you want to do?
I mean, what could Ben McAdoo do at this point? I understand that the fans are frustrated because they run a draw play. You know, part of that was just field position. Let's give Steve Weatherford some room to punt. I mean, that, I think, was the logic behind some of those draw plays. It wasn't as if they were just giving up, but with no offensive continuity, You can't just say, let Eli Manning chuck it down the field. Then the interceptions are going to go up.
And here's the thing, guys. These are the same complaints that I heard last year with Kevin Gilbride. Everybody wanted to fire Kevin Gilbride. Now you got a new offensive coordinator. You want to fire him, too. So what are you going to do? Switch offensive coordinators every 8 games? Here's a hint. How about this? You had Jaron Hosley covering the best wide receiver in football when everybody that called into the show wanted to cut him after the training camp was over. And he's covering the best wide receiver in football. I don't care if you're running Tom Landry out there as your defensive coordinator. Ain't going to matter. It's not going to matter.
It's a personnel issue. That's what it comes down to. I'm not saying that the coaches don't deserve any responsibility.
No, they do.
It's a personnel issue. But I mean, that's the biggest issue right
but
now.
But to say, look, nobody can be so bad as an NFL coach that they coach their team to a minus 30 in a game, okay? That's talent. It's talent. You can't coach your team to a minus 30. You could go out there with a play call sheet, close your eyes, and point, and you won't play to a minus 30.
Well, that's talent to get to minus 30. Very few people can actually accomplish that feat.
I mean, come on,
yeah.
Man.
No, listen, point well taken, John. No argument here. It's a personnel issue. I mean, do we have to continue to go over the injury report? I mean, I'm getting tired of it. Every week they're losing another player. I mean, what do we need to do to sell you on the depth chart at this point? I mean, the depth chart, it's in trouble. You're looking at Mike Harrison. You're looking at Jaron Hosley as your top corners outside of DRC. Unfortunately, they have Zach Bowman. If they didn't have Zach Bowman, who has some starting experience with the Bears, they'd be in much more trouble at this point. Would not be pretty, because Bowman, at least you have confidence. Hey, he can go out there. He could cover guys. At DRC, and I think Steve was alluding to this in one of our other previous callers, what's troubling to me, John, is a player who is clearly battling through multiple injuries. He's, what, 50%, 60% healthy at this point? When he is out playing guys that are 100% healthy, I mean, that's an issue.
And by the way,
that is a problem.
Tip your cap to DRC, too, because he's playing his rear end off, despite the fact he's playing on one leg, all right? And he almost made that play on T.Y. Hilton. He didn't come up with the play, and you can kill him for that if you want. That's fine. But, you know, he mistimed his jump. It happens. You know, he's going out there, and he's a gamer. No one should doubt the fact that Dominique Rodgers-Kawani is a gamer. Sorry for screaming at you, Steve, but you didn't let me talk.
Well, let's see who's going to get your blood pressure up next.
Zeke in Virginia Beach next? Keeps you nice, calm, cool, and collected. We like Zeke. What's going on, buddy?
Hey, this is Angelo, actually. This is Angelo.
I'm sorry, Angelo.
What's going
where are you
on,
calling
Angelo?
From, pal?
Oh, it's all good. Just 3 points. And
okay, go ahead,
I'm
going
to speak from a fan perspective. You'll like this call. I'm actually in Dallas, but I've been a Giants fan for a long time.
Okay.
And it seems there's a personnel, or excuse me, there, between top to bottom, Jerry Reese and coaches like that, too. It seems like the fans want to chuck the ball downfield, but they also want the efficiency Eli Manning is giving them. They can't have a cake and eat it, too. And it seems like it's an unfair judgment.
Yep.
And looking at what Eli Manning is doing, actually, without their top players, you actually go out there and get DRC, you get Schwartz, you get Walter Thurman, you get Rashad Jennings, and you lose your top 5 players that you kind of acquired in the offseason to make your team better.
That's a great point.
So what do the fans expect to get from your squad as far as in coaching? And then not add rookie to that. Weston Richburg, Justin Pugh's second year, Will Beattie still coming off a leg injury. You have Schwartz trying to get acclimated. You have Rashad Williams. And then don't forget, Ben McAdoo is a rookie also in the OC position. So what are fans expecting from Tom Coughlin and coaching staff to get on board and to be able to do something and produce results this year? I'm not saying you pass and waste the year, but you don't put people out there to put your other team members in jeopardy. You don't put Coy Washington out there who doesn't understand a scheme that helps everybody else get open. I mean, everything works amongst one another. And I definitely understand Antoine Rowe's point in wanting a dog-type mentality. He's like, he wants a Steve Smith and Baltimore-type mentality. Just go out there and get it and fight. DRC is trying to do the best he can, but when you lose your top cornerbacks, what do you expect? And it's about matchups. You put Reggie Wayne in the slot, or you put T.Y. Hilton in the slot because you don't have a slot corner, so you can move them. The same thing the Giants should have did when it comes to Beckham or anybody else, to move them or put them in a bunch set so they can't get off, so they can not get bumped and rubbed off the corners. So it is about matchups, and I think that's the frustrating part from fans, is that you see other teams doing it, putting people in motion, doing bunch formations. It's a copycat league. Do what Pittsburgh did. Why didn't we do the same thing? But but also have to understand what you're working
well,
with.
Well, but Angelo, so hold on here. I'll let you continue. I mean, if you look at Pittsburgh's offense compared to the Giants, yes, they moved and matched guys around. But let's face it, the Steelers' depth chart is a lot better than what the Giants have to offer.
Agree.
Antonio Brown, Martavis Bryant, Marcus Wheaton, Heath Miller. I mean, the list goes on and on. Le'Veon Bell, that's nowhere near what the Giants have.
They have much better players.
I completely agree. I'm not knocking that whatsoever. It is talent and personnel, and we've lost out of our system our top five people just due to injury, so it happens. But I still believe, even though our talent level may not be there, you still put them in position to try to do the things that emulate the previous team the previous week. And that's all I got to say. Thank you all for the call.
All right, Angelo, thanks for calling, man. Good points. And look, we're not absolving the coaches from losses either, because when you lose by 30 or 40, guess what? The coaches are partially to blame for that too. You know, Perry Fuel probably put his corners on too many islands yesterday when they were outmatched by better players. And that came back and they bit him in the second half with all those big plays. I get that. And that's a fair criticism. You know, but when you look at Ben McAdoo here, guys, he lost his starting running back. He's got an offensive line that doesn't block well. He lost his number one wide receiver. He's got a second-round draft pick that's underperforming in Reuben Randle. He has their first-round pick basically just for 5 weeks and 6 weeks' worth of practice that's been playing and trying to get him involved. And by the way, he's come along pretty fast. How about you give Ben McAdoo some credit for bringing along Beckham as fast as he had? And I think the first point Angelo made was the best one. Fans seem to love the fact that Eli's not throwing picks. I mean, how many bad anti-Eli Manning calls have we had this year? Close to zero. People are thrilled with the way Eli Manning is playing, right? Not a lot of turnovers, protecting the football. Yet, we get the complaints that they're not throwing the ball down the field enough, making as many big plays. Well, guys, you can't have your cake and you eat it too. You can't have no turnovers, have a high completion percentage, and protect the football, and chuck the ball down the field and make big plays. It doesn't work that way. Look at the Colts offense. They have the most big plays in the league. Guess what? They're sixth in the NFL in turnovers. Sixth in terms of fumbles and interceptions. Why? They take a lot of chances. And you know what? Maybe for the Colts that pays off. Why? They have playmakers that can take advantage of those opportunities and turn them into touchdowns. Even when Eli, the few times they do try to make plays down the field and he has time to throw it, does anybody out there, besides Odell Beckham Jr., see any one of these Giants wide receivers creating any sort of separation or space for Eli Manning to make that big play? That's not scheme. You could scheme till the cows come home. Eventually, your guy is going to have to beat the other guy. And right now, the Giants players on both sides of the ball are not beating the guy that lines up across from them. And that's the root of the problem.
Odell Beckham's the only one that's winning those individual battles. Outside of him, you're not seeing much separation, and you're not seeing many game-changing plays. So it's an issue. Getting back to the turnovers,
yes.
Eli Manning has gone four straight games, John, without throwing an interception. He has never done that in his career.
And by the way, you could argue that he's gone six because the interception he had in that
Reuben Randle
touchdown, he basically threw a touchdown pass. Randle gets hit, the ball comes loose. That's not even on Eli. So he's thrown basically gone six games without it being his fault they've thrown an interception. I mean, that's really, really good. Or is it five?
That was the goal.
Is it five or six? Let's see here.
You have
when
the Falcons-Eagles-Cowboys game, and then you tack on this last one. That was four. The Redskins game would have been the fifth one. And then the Texans game, he did not throw an interception.
Yeah, so it would have been six.
So it would have been five out of six.
Yes.
Basically.
But if you take the Randle one away, it would have been six straight.
Yeah.
It's pretty good.
Absolutely. That was the goal coming into the season. High completion percentage, keep the turnovers down, and they have reached those barometers. But you're just missing the game-changing plays. You know, that's what you would have liked. Obviously, it's the balance. You want Eli Manning to protect the football, but at the same time, you still want to take your chances down the field. They're not taking as many chances down the field, but, you know, it's not as if they don't want to. It's the fact that the combination of the lack of the running game and the lack of pass protection really hasn't given them many opportunities to throw.
And the lack of wide receivers making plays down the field when they do try. 201-939-4513. Jeff from Pawtucket. Jeff, get me a Pawtucket Patriot. What's up, pal?
Yeah, no, this is Jeff from Rhode Island, buddy.
Jeff,
how you doing?
What's up, buddy?
Hey, I know. I haven't talked to you. It's hard to get through now since you guys are on TV there getting a live stream. So,
thank you.
But I keep trying. You know, I'd like to see Eli exhibit some of your explosiveness in the huddle there, Johnny, once in a while. So.
I appreciate it, Jeff. Thank you.
They could have used him in the huddle yesterday.
I'll tell you what, I there hasn't been a schmoke explosion of that caliber in quite a while.
Yeah,
it's always nice to get it once in a blue.
I was enjoying that. Yeah,
thank you, Jeff. I appreciate it.
You know, obviously, there won't be any playoffs in the mix this year, I don't think. But What I'm thinking about is long term is, you know, if the winds of change start blowing at the Giants Stadium, what's the potential fallout going to be at the end of the season? That's something that's beginning to concern me. So
boy,
you guys want to address that, I'd like to talk about that for a minute, and I'll just listen on a computer, okay?
All right, thank you, Jeff.
Thank you, guys. Have a good day.
Hey, hi, Jeff. You know, it's a good question. And let me put it this way. I think it's too early to go there. I really do. I don't think it's productive to go there now because who knows what happens in the final eight games of the year. The NFL is a crazy place. So I don't like speculating this early on things like that. But, theoretically, if this season does go poorly, it would be three straight years without making the playoffs. It would be five out of 6 years without making the playoffs. And last year, when you had two straight, they made a significant change. They changed the offensive coordinator, Kevin Gilbride. And generally speaking, once you start changing coordinators, there is a step-by-step process and a progression after that. Now, I think Tom Coughlin's a fantastic football coach. He could coach my team any day. I know people think he's old. He has more energy than I do. You talk to him in the hallway, he works his ass off, and he's here all the time, and he loves the game. And I really don't think the game has passed him by. I don't think the Giants run this conservative, old-fashioned offense. I mean, they brought in the guy that ran one of the best offenses in the league in the Packers. So I don't see him holding this team back. I think that's the impression some people have. I don't see it. I don't think Tom Coughlin's the problem. But when you have losing seasons, there are high expectations here. You have a quarterback like Eli Manning. There can be repercussions. And I'm sure patience with the Maras, with the Tishes, is wearing thin. I mean, they want to win football games. They think this team is good enough to win football games, and they're not winning and playing as well as they would like. And I'm sure at some point, changes are going to be made. Is it going to be this year? I don't know. I don't think anybody does at this point. It's way too early, but it's something we'll keep an eye on.
Well, prior to last season, Jerry Reese threw out the statistic that they're missing the playoffs more so than they're winning Super Bowls. You know, you could focus on the fact, well, we've won two Super Bowls in recent history, but he's more concerned about the fact that they're missing the playoffs. I think the
even just winning the Super Bowl, they're missing the playoffs more than they're making it.
Absolutely. And that's a big concern. I mean, you want to be a franchise that consistently gets in, because once you get in, John, as the Giants have proven, you never know what can happen. In terms of the coaching speculation, and it is too early to tell, I think one of the things that the Giants at least have to weigh, you brought in a new offensive coordinator this season in Ben McAdoo. If you were to make a coaching change, let's say hypothetically, you know, how do you handle the offensive coordinator spot?
Do you
make Eli, I throw that out.
You make him learn a third offense?
That's an issue. I mean, do you want Eli to have to go through another offseason of adopting to a new offense when he's now just first getting comfortable to this? So, you know, if you do make a coaching change at the top, do you then bring in a new coach and you tell them, hey, listen, you got to keep Ben McAdoo? That makes it a little tricky. Some head coaches want to come in and they want their own staff, which you can't blame them. So I think those are the types of things you have to go through before you just say, hey, we got to make a change for the sake of making a change.
201-939-4513. Back to the phones. John is in Florida. John, you're up next. What's going on, pal?
Good afternoon, gentlemen.
Hi, John.
Good afternoon, John. What's happening?
I'm in Stuart, Florida. Maybe you can help me out with something that maybe I don't understand. I've been a Giant fan since the 50s, and I hopefully before I meet the great reward, I'm seeing him win something.
I'm surprised that somebody can challenge Paul DeTito's knowledge. I'm impressed, John.
Offense, okay?
Okay.
That was supposed to be an offense where you threw short passes, you picked up 4 or 5 yards consistently. Okay? Is that an agreement?
I think that is a fair statement, yes.
Okay. Now, because of the situation with personnel, let's take the offensive line, we can't get a running game going. Therefore, it would appear to me that instead of beating a dead horse, you allow the McAdoo program to work by selecting your group of personnel, the people that can catch the short passes, and start the short pass going to pick up 4 or 5 yards, as opposed to running the football and picking up no yards or losses. Why don't we do this? What's going on? That, in my opinion, then opens up the opportunity for the occasional ball down the field, or opens up the opportunity to do something to get a little run in now and then.
Well,
what's
John,
going on?
Frankly, I think they're trying to do that, to be honest with you. I mean, again, in the first half yesterday, because I know the end of the game numbers will be skewed by the fact the Giants were in, you know, catch-up mode and, you know, trying to make a run there. But just in the first half alone, I just want to make sure I have the numbers right here. The Giants threw 23 passes, and they only ran the ball 13 times. That's more than 60% pass versus run, and that's way above, or a little bit above at least, the NFL average in that regard. So I think the Giants did go to the pass a lot, but when your receivers either aren't getting open or they drop the ball when they come to them, I mean, they tried to throw those little short 5-6 yard crossing patterns over the middle to Preston Parker 3 or 4 times. Guess what? He dropped them.
Yeah.
Or Eli airmailed it. So I think they are trying to do that, to be quite honest with you. They just haven't executed well enough to make that part of the game plan. I think everything you said is right logically. I think the way you're thinking about it is correct. I don't think you're wrong, but they haven't executed well enough to do what you want them to do.
Well, that's certainly a disappointment. It really broaches the bigger question, and you're entirely correct. You have to have the personnel to play the game. We've got reasonably good coaches. Do I think we have the best coaches in the world? Absolutely not. But if you had good people, you'd be able to do a hell of a lot more. But finally, the responsibility, like in any corporation, becomes the CEO. You've got to put a plan together to get the right people in place, and that's what's been lacking. Take a look at the drafts. I mean, they have really not been good in the past 4 or 5 years. So that's in my considered opinion.
John, look, and this is what I'll say. If Giant fans want to go back and take a look at the drafts over the last 4 or 5 years, like you brought up, take a look at how many second contracts the Giants have signed players to and of their draft picks. And now, a lot of that's to do with injuries. You know, Kenny Phillips blew out his knee. Terrell Thomas blew out his knee. Steve Smith blew out his knee. David Wilson, spine issue. Hakeem Nicks, injuries over the long period of time really sucked his athleticism away from him. Linval Joseph, you let him go because you knew you had Jonathan Hankins behind him. So I get it. There are extenuating circumstances. But you're right. The bottom line is that you do not have enough impact players out of your last 4 or 5 draft classes, your best two guys being Jason Pierre-Paul and Prince Amukamara, one of which has never even made a Pro Bowl, the other one who's really had one dominant year in the league, and that's it. And you're right. There isn't a young base foundation on this team of young veterans that give you consistent production week in, week out, and I think that's a big core of the issue here.
Well, then I'll ask you, if I may ask you then a question, okay?
Yes, sir.
How do you resolve this issue? Okay? It's not an easy question to answer.
No, it's a very difficult
but
question.
You know, in successful corporations, it's the CEO of the corporation that puts things in place, and they may not have the best people in the world, but they manage to get things done. And right now, we have an issue of finding and retaining good people. Look at Bradshaw. Bradshaw, why did we ever let him go?
Well, remember, he did miss all of last season, John, so I think that you need to at least consider that. He's having a great year, don't get me wrong, but, you know, he had injury history when he left the Giants and he didn't play last year, so you have to take that into consideration as to why the Giants did part ways with him.
Okay. Well, I have been venting my frustration.
That's okay,
a bit,
John.
But maybe they'll let McAdoo do his thing and play some more short passes because we can't run the ball for whatever reason, and maybe that does open up opportunities for other things. Thank you for taking my call. Good luck, gentlemen. I enjoy your program.
Appreciate
thank
that, John.
Thank you for
thanks
calling
so
in, John. Thank you for watching. Thank you for listening. Much appreciated. By the way, we should note, if you want to listen to the program, the Giants have sent out a new update to their mobile app. So go out there, either download the app or download the app. If you don't have it, you can listen to the show, watch the show live on your app, on the move, in the car, doing your Paul Dottino power walks, whatever you want to do. That's how you can check it out. iPad, Android, iPhone, all that stuff. You know, go there, download it. It's top-notch stuff.
All forms of technology. And I thought John brought up a number of good points in terms of, hey, this is the philosophy of the West Coast offense. Why is it not functioning? And you hit it right on the nose, John. You mentioned its execution. Last night they were going over the middle.
I think that's
they had
what
short
McAdoo
routes.
Wants to do, isn't it?
And guys were dropping passes left and right. The only thing that I would say, and I continue to bring this
you
up like a broken record.
You love passing the running backs.
I just want the running backs involved. That's all I'm asking for. And I'm not asking them to run crossing routes, John. I'm just saying, hey, put the guy in the flat and say, here.
Now,
here's
do
the
you
football.
Think
run.
That's mostly a lack of trust in Andre Williams. I mean, do you think we'd be having this conversation if Rashad Jennings was here?
I don't think we would be having this conversation. I think Jennings, it's guaranteed he's going to get about three or four receptions.
Right.
So it is possibly a lack of faith in Andre Williams. But however,
they haven't given him much of a chance, though.
Correct.
Either.
And that's what I get back to. Even right. if you don't
I
have
agree.
Full confidence, John, make the defense honest.
So then use Peyton Hillis then.
And they did to a certain degree,
he
but
had,
it was late
catches?
In the game. He had
yeah.
five catches last night.
Yeah.
And he had 10 yards a catch off of that.
201-939-4513. We got a bunch of guys in the line. Calls are coming in like crazy. So we're going to try to get as many in as we can. Maybe we'll go a little bit past 1 o'clock as well. Give you a little bonus time to help people out of one event. Let's go to Drew in Virginia. We'll try to pick up the pace here a little bit. Drew, what's going on?
Hey, guys. Good morning. Oh, good afternoon, man.
Doing well, Drew. What you got?
Yeah, man, this game, it looks like obviously this team doesn't have the talent. All right, bottom line, we really just don't have the talent. Now, I know we got a lot of people hurt and everything else, man, and you know, that's another thing. You know, I think that's frustrating to the fans. This is a year after year after year after year occurrence. And, I know other teams have injuries, too, and injuries is part of the NFL, but it just seems like we, the Giants, just can't keep people
Yeah, Drew,
healthy.
You know what, though? The funny thing about this year, and then I'll let you make your last point and finish up, that these cornerback injuries and the defensive backfield, usually corners you're talking, you know, hamstrings, ankles, calves, knees, Achilles, whatever. This is a pec injury, it's a bicep injury, and it's a broken thumb. Who could ever predict three upper body injuries to cornerbacks knocking three of your starters out for the season? I mean, it's hard to figure.
Yeah, I mean, it is and everything, man. But, again, it's frustrating to us because it just seems like it continuously happens to us. And then again, man, I mean, you know, just the talent on this team, man. And I do got to look at Jerry Reese, man. And, you know, it goes something to back to something Lynn said. You can't continue to shop at the dollar store. So we got to do something. Then I got a last my last point and
yeah.
question I got for you guys is, you know, I'm an Eli fan, but I got to tell you right now, man, Eli isn't exactly lighting it up, too. And last night, man, I saw some of his play, man, and he looked ridiculous out there. You know, him and his continuously high ball throwing. And, you know, right now, man, Eli's hearing footsteps because there was a couple of plays out there that, you know, had he taken his time and looked, he could have had a play open, but he was just missing people. So Eli ain't looking great either. Now, I'm just telling you right now, man, this, you know, overall, this team just does not have the talent, and I don't care what you say. And it goes back to something else that Kashawn said a long time ago, which is extremely true, and that is this team has got too many holes. So my last point, again, is, you know, let me know what you think of Eli, because I'm telling you, he doesn't look right out there.
Okay.
Thanks, guys.
Thank
all
you.
Right,
appreciate it. I think Eli's actually played pretty well this year. Let me start by saying that. He's protected the football. He's taken what the defense has given it to him. He's lost his top wide receiver. Reuben Randle hasn't taken the step forward. He's a lot of inexperienced tight ends. He has an offensive line that doesn't do a great job protecting him. So considering how the cards have been stacked against him, Lance, I think he's doing a pretty darn good job. Now, in fairness, last night, the first quarter, I think he was a little inaccurate from time to time. We talked about earlier in the show, airmailed some balls, and I think he underthrew Beckham on that fly route on the sideline where they could have had a touchdown if he makes a better throw. But for the most part this year, I don't think a lot of these problems are based in Eli Manning.
His struggles is more based on the personnel around him. I think his decision-making has vastly improved, John, and that's the one thing you wanted to see from 2013 to 2014. Before we get back to the next call, I just wanted to piggyback off of Drew's comment
yeah.
that, you know, Jerry Reese continues to shop at the quote-unquote $1 store. Let's go back to this offseason. Look at who they brought in, and look at who is hurt and is not playing. Rashad Jennings.
Injured.
He was not shopping at the dollar store for him. He's not in the lineup. They went out and they got Jeff Schwartz.
Out.
He's not at the dollar store. He's also hurt. They went out, they got Walter Thurman.
Oh, he's not playing
either. He was not at the dollar store. He's hurt. They went out and got DRC. He's playing, but he's not.
He's banged up.
The full DRC.
And one of the top five top paid corners in the league this offseason, by the way.
He went out and got Robert Ayers. Robert Ayers is by far one of their best defensive players.
Good signing.
He went out and got Jameel McClain.
He's doing okay.
Who wound up filling in for John Beeson.
And by the way, has saved the Giants bacon with all of John Beeson's injury problems.
Absolutely. So all of those players that I named, and I'll throw in Zach Bowman, who I thought provided some nice depth to the secondary, considering they need him now due to all the injuries. You want to criticize Trendon Holiday? Okay, it didn't work out. But then again, it wasn't as if that was a big money deal. Mario Manningham, they took a chance on him. He didn't even make the final roster. But the heart and soul of all these free agents, John, those are not dollar store investments. No. I disagree with that assessment. Those are guys that you brought in, you gave quality contracts to, and you felt they were going to contribute. The problem is, can't stay healthy, can't stay on the field. They can't contribute.
And remember, too, you can carry that cap space over they have left to next year if you want to extend Eli, re-sign Roll, re-sign JPP, extend Prince. Maybe you like the free agents on next year's market better than last year. All things to reconsider. Thurman's a free agent after the year. That's someone you could probably get back on the cheap because of the injury now with the pec. But et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Look, they'll be able to use those dollars, guys. The Giants were ultra-aggressive in free agency. I didn't get one call in the offseason saying I wanted the Giants to be more aggressive. People were pretty happy with what they did for the most part from what I remember. A couple people were nitpicky here and there, but to say that they, you know, ran a cheap operation in the offseason, I don't think is fair. I've heard from Charles in New Mexico, and I don't know how long. Charles, what's going on?
Hey, guys, what's going on? You guys are doing a great job. Let me say that first.
Thanks, appreciate that, Charles. What you got?
I enjoy the show out here. Last night was just horrible. I'm in the middle of Bronco Cowboy land.
Yeah.
It was a little quiet, but I took a lot of abuse. The last couple of calls hit on some good points. John, you said it. I'm a huge Eli fan. Love the guy to death. I think he's playing a lot better, but I also agree with everybody. Jerry Reese didn't do a job on that offense. I know Jennings is hurt. We didn't go out and get a big receiver, you know, in case there was an injury. I mean, Beckham is a great talent, and since he signed the contract, I know Cruz is a great receiver, but he hasn't produced since he got the big money either, and I know he's hurt. But overall, the coaching last night, I'm sorry. For 2 weeks off, they weren't well prepared for the Colts.
How so, Charles? How so? Give me specific examples.
Gruden kept saying it all night. Why didn't they look at the Pittsburgh game plan? Bunch of receivers. They can't catch the receivers on crossing routes. They didn't start doing it until the second half, and they had a little, you know, pick up after that. But even Gruden said it. They didn't do a great job putting people around a two-time Super Bowl MVP, Eli Manning.
Yeah, but Charles, look, I agree with the second part of your point. To the first part of your point, Eli had guys open. He missed some. Guys are open.
Well, no,
and also
that,
guys are open, and they
drop
passes. And guys dropped a bunch of passes. So to me, that's not scheme. If guys are running open and either Eli misses them or guys drop passes, how is that the scheme? Guys are open.
I understand, but that's what I mean. There isn't talent around Eli. If
right.
he puts the ball in their
that
hands,
I agree
why
with
are they
you
catching the ball? Is that coaching, or is it they're not that good of receivers? And I kind of agree with you guys. Randall hasn't improved at all in his third season.
And we talked before the season, Charles, one of the major players this year that would determine how well the Giants played was going to be Reuben Randle. They needed him to step up and take a lot of the pressure, especially once Victor Cruz went down, to become the guy. And you're right. Look, after 3 years, it's hard to say a guy is what he is, and I'm not saying he still can't get a little bit better, but I think the hopes of Randle becoming this number one wide receiver, I just don't see it happening.
And you look around the league, Charles, I don't mean to interrupt, I'll let you continue. When one player goes down, there's a tremendous amount of opportunity to step in and fill that void. And look around the league this year. Look at the Colts. Hakeem Nicks was not producing. Dante Moncrief, their third-round pick last game against the Steelers, has an opportunity, takes full advantage of his snaps. The Steelers, Martavis Bryant, filling
Marcus
in for Marcus Wheaton, who is not all of a sudden produce admirably. You go to the Eagles last season. Jeremy Maclin is out. Riley Cooper had a tremendous year. That's why he got paid this offseason. Time and time again, you look around the league, a number one wideout goes down. The next kid on the depth chart, he's itching. He's itching to be productive. Reuben Randle, Victor Cruz goes down. This is your opportunity. Where is it?
How about this one? Last year, San Diego Chargers lose their top two wide receivers. Rookie Keenan Allen gets the opportunity. Boom, and he's now one of the top wide receivers.
Denario Alexander and Malcolm Floyd get hurt. Other players step up. That's the name of the game. I mean, that's what you need to see around this league in order to sustain a certain record, and the Giants are just not getting it.
And I think a fair criticism here, and if you want to make the criticism, I'll buy it. Some of the guys that are on this roster as backups, you know, haven't done the job they need to do, and a lot of that has to do with the mid to late round draft picks, the Jaron Holseys of the world, the Drell Jernigans of the world before he got hurt. What is James Brewer still doing here? I mean, the guy's inactive every week. You know, Charles Brown's been inactive. Brandon Mosley's been inactive. There's a lot of guys on this roster that are inactive every week, and somebody brought up the point the other day. I'm not sure if it was on the show or not, but the way the Patriots run their system, for every guy in the roster, they have a small job that they depend on this guy to do. And he goes into the game, he does that small job, he comes out, and everybody on the roster contributes. and it's a good way to run your organization. And when you have guys that come in and you're given their small responsibility and they don't do it, guess what? They're gone. And you see the Patriots cut guys left and right all the time, whether they're undrafted guys, they rotate roster spots, they cut draft picks. I mean, Bill Belichick's cutting second-round picks in their second year in the league here because they don't get with the program and do their job. And I do think at times, and again, we've talked about the mid to late-round picks a lot with this team, the depth isn't what it needs to be from year to year because those draft picks aren't working out.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I agree. I mean, 3-5, the season's not over, but we still got a chance.
Thank you, Charles.
All right, Charles. Appreciate
it. All right, guys,
have
a good day.
You too, man. 201-939-4513. Johnny's down in Atlanta. Johnny, you're up next, pal.
Good afternoon, guys. How you doing?
What's up, Johnny? Johnny? What you got?
I got a couple things to touch on.
Sure.
The first thing is the personnel changes. We have to make some changes at the wide receiver core. I know, I'm sure fans have already touched on Corey Washington, but also, like, Preston Parker. And I seen they had, like, a couple packages where Larry Donnell was lined up on the outside. If they're going to do that, then why don't they have, like Robinson and Fells in there blocking, since they're both better blockers than Donnell?
Adrian Robinson. Okay. Look, the reason they put Donnell outside, they like to get the tall tight end up on the smaller cornerbacks, and it works from time to time. And, you know, and I think they do put dual tight ends, and they'll have some in the line of scrimmage from there to there. But other times you want to spread it out. You want to put five wide out there, and you put one of your tight ends, one of your five wide. And, you know, that works too. And the one issue we didn't talk about with Corey Washington, and you mentioned it, was that if you want to make him one of your top three receivers, right, you want to have him, Randall, and Beckham. Theoretically, that's your top three, right?
That even wouldn't be my top three, to be honest with you.
Who would it be?
Because Randall, to me, it's been 3 years now. Randall is not a number one receiver. He's not. We have to take our chances on these younger receivers. We have to.
Well, there aren't any of the younger guys left.
Just like we did Randall when he came in.
Well, okay. Well, if you had your druthers then, Johnny, who would be your top three wide receivers on the team that get most of the playing time?
I would have probably Corey Washington at the one. Beckham at the two, and probably Ogletree at the three.
Well, Ogletree's not young now. Ogletree's older than every other Giants wide receiver on the roster.
He has experience in any place that he lines up, and he can actually catch the ball. You know, he doesn't have Ruben Randall's speed, but he can catch the ball. You know, that's the main thing. I think like this, the key for this offense, it would be the O line and the receivers.
Look, Johnny, I agree. I think the receivers in the O-line are a main issue with this offense. I think you're 100% right there. The issue you're going to have, though, is that you need receivers that can play inside. And Cruz is your inside guy. Now he's gone for the year. Parker was the backup, and he has not played well. And if you want to bench him, I get it. I'm not going to argue with that. He did not play well last night, and he hasn't done well for a while. But do you want to move Odell Beckham, a guy that's had a lot of success playing outside and is really coming on now? Do you want to put him into the slot and make him change what he wants to do? Or do you want to put Ogletree there?
Just keep him like in one side. We can move him around everywhere.
That's fair too.
There's
nothing wrong with that. That's fair.
And what do you guys think about John Jerry?
I think John Jerry does a decent job pass protecting, but I think he's a lousy run blocker, which is how Pro Football Focus had him graded out before the year. And I think that's one of the reasons the team doesn't run the ball well.
So with that being said, why isn't Brandon Mosley in the lineup like the plan was intentionally going to be? Like, you know,
obviously they think John Jerry's better than him. I mean, that's the only explanation I have, is that they believe John Jerry's a better football player.
Jerry had a few good preseason games once he got healthy from the knee injury, and Mosley got hurt, so that's how that basically worked out. And it seemed as if once they got comfortable with Jerry working alongside Pugh, they didn't want to toy with that, so they rode that into the start of the regular season. Now we get into the midpoint. You know, things are not as great as they were at the start of the season. It wouldn't hurt to mix and match a little, and I'm sure they're going to evaluate that. If Richburg misses significant time, Schwartz could come back. You could see Adam Snyder have more of a prevalent role. I'm sure they're going to make some changes now because this is three straight games where they can't run the football. You've got to make changes. You can't keep throwing out the same groupings and expect different
back,
results.
There definitely will be some changes, even though I know he's missed a lot of time, but he's much needed. Like, his height and his size is, like, you can't just overlook that.
Thanks, Johnny. Appreciate the call, Johnny. And they're not going to bench Jeff Schwartz for the remainder of the season. When he's healthy to go, he's going to play.
Well, especially with Richburg now being
It's not as if, okay, let's just rest him up and we'll get the most out of the contract next season. Once he gets a few more practices under his belt, he'll be out there. There's a chance it could come against Seattle or at least by week 11 against the Niners.
We'll see. You know, Tom Coughlin indicated last week it was a slow go, so we'll see how quickly he can get back. Two more calls we'll say before we say goodbye at 201-939-4513. Just want to remind listeners that people are winning cash every week at DraftKings.com, America's favorite one-week fantasy football site, where it's like a new season every time you play. Hurry, get free entry into the $100,000 fantasy football contest this weekend, where first place takes home 10 grand. Head to DraftKings.com now and enter code BLUE to play for free. DraftKings.com, bigger events, bigger winnings, bigger millionaires. Enter BLUE for free entry now at DraftKings.com. That's DraftKings.com. Two more calls before we say goodbye. Our buddy Stas is out in Washington, all the way on the West Coast. Stas, what's going on?
Hey, what's up, guys? How you doing today?
What's up, Stas?
Doing well, Stas. What you got?
Hey, so real quick, I hope Prince recovers quickly. That guy's balled out this season for us. It's a major loss. I really feel like he's been our number one defensive player, like, all year long.
Uh-huh.
And it's sad to see him go. I absolutely have no problem how the defense played yesterday, me personally. I felt like we went out swinging, and I can respect that. I didn't feel like we went into the plate and just watched them throw three strikes. We contended, and I appreciate that. But I think a big problem that we're having, and I want to get your guys' thoughts on this, is I do notice this. When we do put Williams in the backfield, it's not that he lacks on talent. I think they just know that he's not a very good pass protector, so they kind of tips the hand, because I do notice they stack the box when they see him in there. As opposed to when Hillis is in there, they play a little softer because I think they know he's a better pass blocker, so they might be going for a shot.
That's interesting.
That could possibly be a situation. And last but not least, people need to kind of lay off Eli. Like, this guy, he doesn't have the best O-line in front of him. His receivers are playing hot potato with the ball. It's like, I think they're playing volleyball. I think they think they're playing volleyball, and when the ball comes to them, they slap it down. Like, they don't want to catch it. And there's a difference between throwing the ball high and putting the ball high. No, sometimes you have to put the ball high and away so that it doesn't get intercepted. And I think people jump on that too quick. I'll take your responses off the air. Thanks for taking my call. Go Big Blue.
Thanks, Stas. I don't think people have been getting on Eli, to be honest with you. I mean, we had one call that was a little bit critical, and that was it. I mean, I think he's playing fine. I don't think there's much of an issue. To me, there's a long list of problems with this team. We've talked
Eli
about him all
not
today.
Be the top of the list.
Eli is way at the bottom if he's on the list at all this season. I don't think that he is. I think the way he's taken to this system, I thought he was going to struggle more with it than he has. I think he's taken to the system and done a much better job than could have been expected based on how much different the old system is from the new. And, you know, this is a guy who's a competitor. He hates losing games. And despite the fact they've gone down in some of these games, he's still not forcing the ball. He's not putting it in danger, and he's sticking to the game plan. And that's what you want out of your quarterback.
I think that when a team loses multiple games and it's lopsided affairs, you know, everybody puts the team under the microscope and starts to try to find reasons and rationale why this team is struggling. The bottom line is it's personnel. Okay, Eli does not have enough weapons around him. Part of it's due to injuries, and part of it is that the guys deep down in the depth chart are just not stepping up and making plays. But to put the blame on Eli Manning, I mean, that to me is stretching it and digging for another excuse. When you give him an offensive line that has not been consistent in run blocking and pass protection, when you give him wide receivers that don't have a lot of starting experience and also don't win individual battles against their opposing defensive backs, you're not going to get a quarterback that's going to be able to light it up every single down, every single drive. And that's what we're seeing on a consistent basis. That has been the continuous trend over these last three games. Eli needs playmakers, and they weren't evident against the Eagles. They were evident at times in a flash here or there against the Cowboys. And other than Odell Beckham and Andre Williams making two significant catches, it was nowhere to be found last night.
I want to bring this up too, by the way, and we'll get to Frank and Tampa to wrap us up in just a second. But it comes to something that I think has been an issue that's festering for a couple years with the Giants. They don't beat good quarterbacks. If the Giants play a good quarterback, generally, they don't win. Last season, the only decent quarterback they beat was Matt Stafford, and he's a legitimately good quarterback. This year, the only good quarterback they've beaten was Matt Ryan, and Matt Ryan had no offensive line in front of him. And last year, Matt Stafford had a one-legged Calvin Johnson he was trying to throw the ball to. So, in this league, if you want to make the playoffs, you got to beat good quarterbacks. There's a lot of them out there now. There's a lot of good quarterbacks. There's not many teams that have nobody. There aren't a lot of Jets out there, all right? So, you know, you have to be able to beat these good quarterbacks. And the last 2 years, the Giants haven't had a chance. I mean, most of these games are blowouts. They got blown out by Peyton Manning. They got blown out by Cam Newton. They got blown out by Alex Smith. They got beaten by Jay Cutler. They got decimated by Russell Wilson. They got decimated by Phillip Rivers. They got decimated by Nick Foles this year. They got decimated by Andrew Luck this year. They got decimated by Matthew Stafford this year. It's a big problem.
Last year during that winning streak, when they started to turn things around after that 0-6 start, they beat Josh Freeman. They beat Matt Barkley. They beat Terrell Pryor, who had a bad knee, let's not forget. And they beat Scott Tolzien because Aaron Rodgers was hurt.
Yeah.
None of those are starting quarterbacks this season.
And later in the year, they beat Kirk Cousins.
In a windy, crappy game.
Who has turned out to be not very good. He's come back down to earth.
Phillip Rivers had a field day. Tony Romo had a field day. Jay Cutler had a field day. The first game, Nick Foles had a field day.
Romo has had three field days in the last 2 years.
It's a valid point. There's a lot of backing behind that statement that they do struggle against high-caliber quarterbacks and they feast on average QBs. And you should feast on average QBs, John.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with that.
That's not the problem.
But the problem is you got to make the difference. Yeah. You at least need to win half the battles against the Romos, the Cutlers, and the Phillip Rivers of the world. If you don't, you start hanging around 500.
Bingo. Final call of the show is Frank in Tampa. Frank, thanks for calling in, buddy. What's going on?
Hey, good afternoon, guys. Good afternoon.
How you doing, Frank?
Good, good. You know, this was – that last night was pretty hard to take. You know, to sit and watch that and feel like, you know, you as a fan just hurt so much worse than the players. Some of the stuff that we putting out on the field, I don't understand it. I mean, it seems like we got to fire Reese and hire a cardiologist. I mean, people like – Robinson, Jernigan, Barden, Beatty, Brewer, Hosey, Randall. There's no heart to come out on a night like last night with Strahan's big night and to come out like that with no heart, not to play hard. It's just, to me, it's indescribable. They got to take somebody like Randall, take him aside, bring him in the office and say, you know, you may want to talk to Preston and see if that Tiki Hut company is hiring.
Well, Frank, let me say this.
Seems to be the punchline of the year.
I am never one to say that a guy is not playing hard. I don't know what's in his heart. I don't know what's in his head. Sometimes, you know, people used to say Eli Manning wasn't playing hard, that, you know, because he had bad facial expressions and he didn't look excited. So I'm not one to say a guy's dogged or not playing hard. I just, frankly, based on what I see, I don't know if that's the case or not. Now, I think a lot of times people confuse effort and heart with ability. When a person's maybe not that good of a player and they get beat, it makes it look like they're not trying. In a baseball game, when a team scores, you know, no runs or one run in a game, what do they say? Oh, the offense was listless. The guys had no energy. Well, it looked like that because they were facing, you know, Clayton Kershaw and they couldn't, you know, touch the ball. So, again, I don't know if it's heart. Whatever the case might be, the guys aren't performing. They're not scoring points. They're not stopping the opponent. They're not getting the job done.
Can you tell me why an onside kick wasn't attempted with 4 minutes to go? I just did not understand that. Kicking it away, we're only down 16. I mean, two touchdowns. Why did they pooch that?
Was that the time where they tried the mortar kick? And that can almost be tried as an onside kick sometimes if they, you know, you try to pop it up right behind that front line
and you
hope it bounces around a little bit, knocks off a Colt player. So I think they were trying to be a little bit creative there, Frank, to create the turnover without doing the traditional onside kick. That's the best answer I have for you.
Yeah, because it seemed like our only hope. You know, what you were saying before, John, about Washington, you know, that he's an undrafted free agent. He's not going to be the savior of the wide receiver car. But you know what? We're a mess right now at that position, and they said the same thing about Cruz 5 years ago, so why not? We got nothing to lose.
Oh, no, Frank, I agree. Look, I think Corey Washington should start getting snaps against first-teamers in the first half in packages. I think it's time, mostly because, like you said, the guys that are out there aren't getting the job done. And you can say Preston Parker looks better in practice. That great. Well, guess what? Preston Parker looks bad in games. And in the end, games is what counts. And you know what? Preston Parker has played his way off the field. And that means Corey Washington, give him a shot. And look, I'm not saying start. I'm not saying play him 60 or 70 snaps. But put him in a package where maybe, you know, it doesn't stress him mentally that much. Have him run some fly patterns. Have him run some deep posts. Have him run some deep in cuts. Easy stuff where, you know, his lack of knowledge and inexperience won't hurt the team. Give him a 20 to 25 play package. Give him a 15 to 20 to play package. And I think that's a good place to start. If he shows he can excel in that situation, great. You leave him out there. You give him a little bit more. But I think that's a good place to start.
Yeah, and what we did at the end there, you know, splitting out the tight end. I mean, you know, with the players we have, I've got to see more adaptation and more innovation. I mean, we've got to do it. We can't just line up, like you said, and beat people. We're not good enough.
Well, you're right. I mean, the bottom line, though, is players need to make plays. And you can move players around, and they've tried to do that with Larry Donnell. I have no problem with throwing in Corey Washington, but I just get back to the point, Frank. I don't think that it's going to make that drastic of a change. I think that he deserves more of an opportunity. That's fine. But, you know, a lot of people are talking him up on Twitter as if Corey Washington started the Colts game, they would have wound up turning a 16-point deficit into a 7-point victory. I mean, that to me is ridiculous.
Yeah, and Williams catching the ball out of the backfield, you know, that might be a nice stop. But did you see the one catch he did make? It looked like it was the hand grenade coming at him with the pin out. I mean, he's got some stone hands, it looks like.
Well, it hasn't been something that he has experience in. But
Who's he talking about there?
I believe he was talking about Andre Williams,
okay.
Frank. Is that who you were alluding to?
Yeah.
Correct, yeah. So, I mean, Andre Williams wasn't known for being a receiver in college, and he has to get more and more used to that. But if you don't make an effort to try to get him involved, Frank, it gets back to what some of the other callers are bringing
up. Make him a threat.
It's too predictable.
Right.
And you're not keeping the defense on its toes because they know, oh, Williams is in the game. Who cares if they go play action? We know its bottom line is they're going to run the football with him. There's no way they're going to get him involved in the passing game. And you can't do that because then you're one-dimensional.
Yeah, but it's tough to sit and watch, you know, with our record and run the ball on, you know, on 3rd and 15. That's tough to watch.
Thank you, Frank.
Well, Frank, listen, if you're struggling Giants games, all you need to do is turn on the Bucks games in your backyard. They make you feel better.
Mike Evans, big week this week.
Well, I mean, other than a fantasy game here or there, they're not playing quality football.
I don't
either.
Know what you're talking about.
Yes.
Everybody, good job on the phones. Excellent job on Twitter. I know we didn't get to a lot of your questions. We were inundated with phone calls. They're still ringing. We're not picking them up because we got to go. But excellent work. We appreciate it. Lance, good job. Tomorrow we'll be back on our normal weekly schedule. So the rest of the week. So check out Big Blue Kickoff Live every day at noon. The press conference schedule a little bit different. There's no press conference on Wednesday. There will be a conference call and a conference call with Eli Manning. And then we'll have live stuff in the locker room on Thursday on Giants.com, so make sure you check that out. Any final thoughts there, Mr. Meadow?
I think we pretty much covered everything with respect to this team. It was not a fun game. It's a 3-game losing skid, and it's not going to get any easier, John. It's a quick turnaround, and you have to go cross-country to Seattle, which is a team that has had its fair share of issues, but that doesn't make this game any easier just because Seattle's struggling a little.
One item on the Seattle game, I just want to throw it out there real quick, and we'll talk about it more over the course of the week. This offensive line in that building with that noise, with the and I know they haven't been great this year. I know they haven't been. But with the physicality of that defensive line, with Bennett, with Mebane, Avril, all those guys, these receivers trying to get open against Richard Sherman.
Michael Bennett, too.
It worries me.
It is a concern. I mean, they have a pass rush that needs one game just to get going. Just to get into rhythm. The one thing I get concerned, piggybacking off of that point, John, and penalties wasn't so much an issue yesterday with the offensive line. That could be something that rears its ugly head again in Seattle.
Remember the 10 or 12 full-star penalty game a few years ago?
Yeah.
Could be a problem.
You don't want to repeat that.
Excellent work. We appreciate it. We'll see you later in the week.
Sounds good.
For Lance Meadow, I'm John Schultz. Thanks for joining. We'll see you next time on Giants.com. Have a good one.
Oh, here we go, here we go. Here we go. Come on, man. We need the work. Let's go. Let's go.
Yeah, middle of the field. He's got through. 35, 30.
One of the end zone caught.